on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm JT Ayers, your host. Thanks for joining us. I'm so glad you're joining us because this interview is going to blow your mind. We've been talking off podcast just right now and having really fun. And, you know, I forgot we needed to record a podcast. But before I get into who my guest is, On Track and Field, come check out this website. OnTrackandField.com has everything you need for track equipment. It has free lap cones, it has pole vault poles, and everything in between to give your kids the best opportunity to be successful. Give them what they need, and that's good equipment. Also, I'm a head coach. Track and field equipment, extremely expensive. On Track and Field knows that, and they're going to help you out and give you the best price possible. And here, don't tell anybody this, but if you go to On Track and Field and you buy something, promo code TRACKTALK, all one word. Don't tell anybody. It's our little secret. 15% off right there. You're going to be super excited because 15% off a $1,000 pacer pole. That's a big deal. So ontrackandfield.com. With me is Michelle Freeman, a 2007 world champion in the 4x1, 2008 Olympian in the same event. Personal best, 1097. That's no joke. And 2301. That might be even more impressive. Currently USA's head women's relay coach. And this past summer, I watched them run one of the most incredible relays I've ever seen. I was literally sitting like third row up from the finish line. And we watched our American girls upset Jamaica, who went 1-2-3 in the 100. And that was in the 4x1. It was incredible. We're going to talk about that. But she's also the founder of a nonprofit called Track Girls, which we're definitely going to talk about as well. Michelle, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we have to talk about something that I've been dying to know, and I don't want to put you in the hot seat either, but we got to talk about relays. How does one become the world's relay coach?
Oh, man. Oh, you're starting the questions off. Tough. No, it's not tough. One thing about anything you do, and if somebody looks at you as an expert in it, a subject matter expert, then one, they trust you. So someone that you can trust to get the job done. So I've proven that I can get the job done. And I'm a relay girl, okay? I'm a relay girl. I've been running relays since I was 14. I've been winning relays since I was 14. We were third in the country in the 4x4. And remember, everyone runs the 4x4. No matter if you're a 100, 200 specialist, it's the 4x4s that everyone gets that true development exposure that helps everything you do in track and field.
Yeah, that's the clip I'm going to take off this podcast and broadcast. That's for sure.
Send it to every high school coach in particular. I've been running relays a long time at the high school level, went to the University of South Carolina with my twin sister, got to run with another set of twins, the Barber twins. We had the relay field there, Demetria Washington. We've been running and winning relays at South Carolina. From there, I actually took 4 years off from running and went and focused on my graduate degree and worked in New York City and marketing and advertising. And after 4 years of doing that, I decided to go back to the sport. And I trained, and in 2007, I ended up getting fifth in the 100 meters. and when that happened, I was running amongst Lauren Williams and Allison Felix. And that's when Carmelita was coming up, and she pulled that bronze off in 100 meters. But there was me who actually made the team and for the relay. And then when we got to Osaka, Allison made it for the 100 and the 200, that mm-hmm. team. And so when we got there, she decided to pull out the 100, and I was the next person up. So wow. I ended up running the open 100 meters in Osaka, and running against so many amazing women. But I was the first one out in the semifinal. The first one out of the final, because at that time they were doing the top four in each heat, not top three, next fastest two. And so if they were doing it, like, you always be like, oh, I hate that top four. But I watched somebody with a faster time get in the final. So I still get mad at that process now, but I'm glad they changed it. But aside from that, I was in the prelims of that relay. Carmelita was first leg. I was second leg. And they went on to win the gold medal in the final. So I got to get a medal for being a part of that in 2007. And then, of course, 2008 came, made the team for the relays. I got seventh in 100 that year. That's when I PR'd, got under 11 seconds. And I didn't know if I was going to touch the track in Beijing. But again, just I was that runner that I can run any leg, first leg, second leg, third leg. The key about the relays is, yes, you got to be fast, but you got to execute the zones. And I have always understood that. And I have always been able to. And so that's who you hire. Somebody that has proven that they have been able to do it at the level that you are asking them to lead and coach. So it's good that I have that understanding and connection to the ladies and that I work with. And just knowing that, you know, I've been in the system, and so they know I understand the USA system as an athlete. And since I've been doing it as the assistant coach for 5 years now, they trust me as the person to lead it.
Okay. So how do you pick the girls that do the relay? I mean, that's, everyone's going to be a naysayer. In fact, your position as the coach for relays typically is going to be the one that's, you're going to get a lot of flack. Because every time the men do something in the Olympics, everybody has an opinion. And then as soon as the women don't do what they're supposed to do, everyone has an opinion.
Yes.
It's not a very glamorous position as a coach, because you're putting yourself in a position where, and now I'm a high school coach. I'm coaching my girls and my guys in the 4x1 from January to May. Yeah. You just get these kids or these, you know, professional athletes all over the place. They may even know each other's names, really. And you have to make them a cohesive unit. So let me ask you this. Why Melissa Jefferson? Why Abby Stein? How'd you pick this group of girls to upset the Jamaicans to run this relay?
Yeah, well, I figured you were going to ask me that. So, but I mean, I know the answer, because, you know, I was really intentional about the vision that I had in order to be successful in the relay. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure is that we had practice as much as possible. We all know that practice is key. And so if you have less reps, then those touch points need to be as quality and as accurate as possible. So I wanted to make sure we had an objective system to follow and give to them. So when we came to relay camp, they were understanding what they just needed to execute, and then now they can actually execute it. And one of the biggest things was what we know is stick speed. We got to understand what it takes to maximize that flying 30 with that baton getting exchanged. And once you figure out that data, then you just have them execute that process. Since I've been working with the relays, the biggest things is when you have that shorter amount of time is, you know, really paying attention to people who can accelerate well, because that's the most critical thing is that needs to be consistent. And if you have a consistent acceleration pattern that I can trust, then you can base your go marks, and you can understand how to really get that pass done later in the zone. And you're coming at it in an objective way. Now, once you have your system in process, you got to find the people that can execute the system. So if you're intentionally working to fulfill something, then you just got to find those people, like any job. And you know, in the relays, a first leg has a job, a second leg has a job, a third leg has a job, and an anchor leg has a job. And I don't know who makes the team, you know, until 3 weeks before the championship. But the whole year, you're spending time and watching. You got the people who made a team previous years. You have your collegians that are performing really well, you know, that may have some standouts there. So you're watching NCAAs as well. And then you're really paying attention to what they do. Are they running relays? How do they look? Who can really run 130 meters really well? Who can run a turn really well? So, you know, as they're running 200s, you're really watching their 130s, or, you know, you're watching them come on. So it's just different things. And so as I got to USA's, I had a short list of women. You know, you're going to go with a short list of women. And so once you really get to the final, and you start to see like, okay, what you're working with a little, because, you know, as a relay coach, we do get two discretionary picks that we can pick from anybody that has performed at the national championship. So selection rules from World Athletics, we do have to take the top four in the 100 meters or the 400 meters. But those two discretionary picks, I'm picking someone not just because a place finished, but what can they do to execute the system? And when I saw Melissa Jefferson, I know that she's run the 100 and the 200 and done those well. I know that she's a NCAA champion in 60 meters, so she knows how to get out the blocks well. I know she's the U.S. national champion, so she knows how to get out the blocks well and fast. I know she handles pressure. I know she wins when it's time and when it matters. I know she's that surprise show-up performer. So when I need somebody who can believe that we can really get this done, then I know Melissa Jefferson qualifies for that. Abby Steiner. Abby Steiner is someone that is you don't get. She's special. She can run the 4x4 well, not just well, but extraordinarily well. When I saw her run the 4x4 in particular at NCAA championships, that was a moment that I really understood her capabilities. And so I knew that she could be a true asset, being in the exact same place that she has been the whole year. And if you have a little bit of time, then you want to put somebody in the places that they are most comfortable and do it well with. So I knew that with her and the 200 specials running the 4x1 second leg the whole year, that you could depend on her maximizing that full 130 meters if you had to.
She had to. That's for sure.
No, for sure. Oh, no. She no. Had to.
Had to.
Had to. Like, had to.
Okay, so, keep talking about them girls, because you and I are definitely going to get into what that race looked like. But okay, Jenna, by the way, you have college kid starting your race off. You got college kid running second leg. Then you got the professional that's been professional a long time that's been running track for a long time. So, Jenna.
Jenna Prandini. I have been running with Jenna Prandini because I was the assistant relays coach under Oren, for the last 4 years. So I've been working with her at NACAC and other, you know, work in different relays, world relays in 2019. And Jenna's always that person, like, I'm ready for this 4x1. Because, you know, you got the 4x2s Jenna loves the 4x1. and she's a very special curve runner. And she's technically sound, both receiving and giving the stick.
In the prelims, she even handed the baton off with like two hands to make sure that thing got around. You can't. I mean, that's not coaching. That's just someone that understands it, right?
It's just somebody who understands it. And I knew that the race was going to break down heavily on third leg, and it had to be with somebody that was the most skilled person to do it. And that was Jenna Prandini. And then anchor leg, the thing about anchor leg is TT Terry has been running the anchor leg and winning the anchor leg from behind in front. I worked with her at a time when, at a world junior team, when she was running the open 100, but we failed to get the baton out the prelims. But I remember even in that moment, she was ready to run the prelims. And I was like, dang, I learned in my failures, I learned in my successes. But in that moment, I knew that I could depend on TT Terry, and I didn't. And I knew I never would mess that up. And so I learned through the years too, since I've been doing this for, you know, the last few years. And it just so happened that, you know, the night before we had relay camp, Aaliyah got COVID. And you had two amazing women that are capable to run strong anchor legs. And I knew that when we got to relay camp, we practiced in a way that it was in that order. And TT is somebody who I can use her past to depend on. And I had to remember in that moment what I told myself the last time I worked with TT on the team was that I could depend on TT Terry. And so when, unfortunately, Aaliyah was sick, I didn't get to practice what I was working on. And so when it came down to championships, even when you have a hard moment, like someone who's, Aaliyah is a world-class act. She's the one of the most humble people who I've worked with. She is genuine. And it was just bad things that happened to Aaliyah Hobbs when it's time to make these teams, you know, Olympic year, what happened with her in the Open 100. And then in 2019 Doha, she was there for the relay pool, but she got injured the week before. So we left. And so here we were again, something that out of her control. And she's like, wow. But in that moment, that fourth leg with TT, I knew I could trust her. It was the team who I practiced with the most. So those were the four. I knew that if it came down to it, when the race was set up to where how I worked, if they executed, I needed the first three women to execute the stick speed. And once they did that, they would create enough space for TT. And TT just had to do what she does, and that's fight to the end and win. And the last thing TT told us before we went in the tent, and I'm like, look, this is how the race is going to go. So by TT, when you get the stick, you're going to have to go. And she said, y'all give me the stick in front. She ain't catching me.
And wait. We're talking about one of the best sprinters the world. Actually, is the best sprinter in the world, and maybe one of the best sprinters at that moment in history. And Sharika Jackson, she couldn't catch her.
Listen, let me tell you something. When you got heart, when you got fight, and when you got confidence and skill, then listen, I'm riding with you. And when TT told me that, I was like, well, let's go then. And because that's pressure. Even when I look at the film still and I look at TT in the zones getting ready before the race is going off, I'm like, what is she thinking on that? Because you got to have somebody on anchor leg who's right. They lining up to the like. And when you look at the lane next to you and the lane next to you and the lane next to you, it is no space. It's no space. So for her to be able to handle that, it was just a real special group of women that really lived up to what I really felt they can do. And I still, it's going to be a special moment for the rest of my life.
Well, you're not alone in that, because we're sitting there in the crowd and we just watched Jamaica go 1, 2, 3 in the 100. And we're like, oh, here we go. Hope we get second. And we see Melissa get in the, and she's so cute. She's just so little and she's just in the blocks. And the way she got out, it was evident after 30 meters, we're ahead. And okay, you tell me. You tell me where you were standing. And as a coach, by the way, I have 6 heart attacks every time my kids run a 4x1. Oh, I can't imagine what you were doing. So where were you? Where were you watching this race? And to walk me through what you saw while the race was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I saw exactly every single thing that happened with the passes. Well, I was in the warm-up area because I wanted to see it on TV. And I didn't want to be somewhere in a stadium where I couldn't see it, each of the passes. So I was like, I'm going to stay in the back. Plus, you know, when everything happens, I just need to stay in the back. So I'm watching it on TV and I'm trying to keep my composure. But of course, it's the same thing as if I was an athlete. I feel like the coach is a little bit more anxiety because you have less control once they get the team, right? And so the gun goes off and Jefferson is out. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, okay, the last thing Melissa and I talked about before she left is I was like, listen, you got one thing to do. I said, you have to pass Spain. Like, you have to, like, not, you have to pass Spain because Jamaica's in lane 6. Jamaica was out in 5 or the lane up in front. And Spain. And I was like, so you're not going to have that. You got to pass her. And so when I saw that, she was exactly what I needed her to do. When she got to the zone, I saw at the same time, Jamaica, I can see Jamaica's pass slower than ours. Mm-hmm. And I can see that our pass took about a step longer than what I wanted to. But what was so great about it is that the acceleration of Melissa Jefferson to run all the way through. So the time wasn't slowing down as far as Abby didn't feel like she was slowing down because Melissa Jefferson was running with her. So again, making sure you have somebody that's keeping their composure. We talk a lot about poise, but just making sure that you got to make sure you run with her because she's gone. You got to get up to the meetup point and drop the package.
And I was afraid Abby was going to run away from her because Abby was out. So can I ask you a follow-up question?
This was a risk, though. You had to do it. Like, you had to do it. That was the only way. And so I had to, and I've been doing, like I said, in the past, you take that, okay, I'm going to take it a step in. But no, I had to actually be like, okay, no, you got to do it.
So when you practice a go mark, how does that transition to the actual race? Do you alter that at all? Like, I'm talking steps.
Yeah. It depends. Like, you got to consider different things. Like, if you're practicing, you may not practice the full distance. So, you know, some coaches may take that into consideration of how you make adjustments. You may make adjustments in the last minute if you see that a pass is taking longer than you really want, you know, feel comfortable with, something in your gut is telling you to do something. So you have to be really sensitive to your instincts and respond to those things as well. So it's different things I consider with the go mark when I come to, but yeah, if I felt like I needed to change it, I would.
What do the girls say? They say stick?
I know. I took your course.
My course?
Yes.
Oh, and thanks for that shameless plug on my 4x1 course.
Yeah, I took your 4x1 course. Yeah. So I wanted to, you know, listen to what you're teaching.
What'd you think?
No, it's good. The science is there. I think we actually both ran 41:14 relays.
Oh, well. Your girls are faster than my dudes. So let's calm down a little.
No. I'm saying your boys ran, you know, an elite woman is a high school girl. I'm sorry, high school boy. So 41:14, that's about right for both of us.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just only the Orange County record, you know, in California, and your girls are running that. That's insane. That's insane.
But
take some special kids. By the way, my team that ran that, not the fastest 400 kids.
That's how it goes.
And not fastest 100 kids.
100 kids, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, those three of those four were on my 4x4 that ran 3:15 low. It's like, they should be running.
Yes, that's how the 4x4, I tell you, the 4x4. Yeah. From the beginning. But,
all right, so are your kids saying stick? Are they saying something fun?
Yeah, I was about to say, I know your course, you know, recommends that maybe you may not use that.
Yeah, but got different languages. I don't have to worry about that.
I was thinking that when I said we got different languages. So I hear all types of things, but no, we do say stick.
Okay, cool. It's interesting to hear because I guess most of your job, and I'm hearing you say this, is psychology. You're not, these girls know how to run. These girls know how to do 4x1. You're refining, but you're also talking to each of them individually. So how do you find out so quickly who these people are and how they're motivated?
I've watched them all year. I've talked to their coaches. Their coaches and I have relationships, of course, if I want to have some questions. So throughout the year in the spring, we have our domestic relay program. We give opportunities for women to work with me at Texas Relays, Mount SAC, just to have repetitions and touch points. So I can have references, because that's the easier thing for me. Like, if I can reference someone, then that's always great. I think it's important just to know who you're working with. Like, you really have to know what makes them tick. So you have to do your research. Like you said from the very beginning, we have a small amount of time. I like to consider it about, you know, I call it 72 hours, just because you're not getting more than three straight days with the same group of people to make something happen. You got individual individual races, practice considerations, you know, people run 100, people run 200, people run 4. So it's putting together a whole puzzle and landing in the right spot with the right people.
Well, you're at a disadvantage. Jamaicans, they train and practice together. The Japanese, they've been doing this thing for 3 years every week together. The Italians, they train together. They work together. USA, we live all over the place. We have different coaches, different environments. Then they come together and you get 72 hours. I mean, in a perfect world, you would want more time, right?
Yeah, you would. But that's the thing. You're chosen for the job because you got this amount of time and this is what you got to do. And this is what you got to do.
Love it. I love it. Well, let me just, you're a pain because this is the, I mean, I'm literally shaking and I have goosebumps listening to you talk about the 4x1 and we're already 25 minutes in and I don't want to stop talking. So, hey, listener, we're going to go an extra 10 minutes. Sorry. Our format's usually 20. Too bad. Good stuff. All right. Let's just end with the relay and then we're going to talk about track girls, which I'm so excited to hear you talk about. End of the relay. The thing, Terry brings that thing home. The crowd loses their mind. And Jackson was catching, but she didn't have enough room.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd.
We knew that was going to happen.
The crowd loses its mind. Everybody is freaking out. That thing erupted. And you're backstage jumping up and down. Is that what we're, is
that's
that
exactly
what I'm
picturing? What happened. That's exactly what happened. I hit that that ATP energy system. But I hadn't tapped into that energy system in a long time. So I had to calm down because I started to hyperventilate. I was literally jumping up and down. That's exactly right. And grateful because it was a lot of hard decisions, was a lot of hard conversations. It was a lot of me growing and trusting myself and sticking with what I really believe was the right thing. And it worked. And it worked out. And so I was immensely joyful and gracious. That's what I was in that moment. So happy. Like, so happy.
Yeah.
And I could feel the crowd. Like, in the back, the first thing I remember in my ears was the crowd. And I still know what that feels like. So, no, it's a moment, like I said, I'm going to remember for the rest of my life just because it was something that was a real big moment for a lot of people.
Last question. And if I don't ask this, I'm going to get crucified because everybody knows I'm this dude. Up sweet pass. What do we have to do to get you to do that?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about that too. In that third leg, running on the outside, starting on the outside. I'm trying to. So if you got somebody coming down the outside and then they stand on the outside, and I got to see what that position seems a little tricky.
You got to practice it, and not only that,
you can do anything you practice.
Yeah. Hey, but the thing is, if up sweep, you don't have to practice as much because it's a lot easier to run up and give it to a person.
You know, I have never done an up sweep, but, you know, I listen to you. So, and I just want to do it myself. I'm going to go out here and try this up sweep pass to see what it feels like. I'm going to make somebody do a 4x1 pass with me. I need
my children, they're 11 and, you know, 13 and 9, they do it. And they just have fun goofing off. All right, how about this? When you come to Mount SAC, you're going to come to my high school and my kids are going to do it and you're going to coach them up and talk about it and everyone's going to be super cool about it. And if you believe in it, cool. If not, whatever you're doing is working, coach. So just keep doing it. And by the way, can we get you to coach the guys too? I mean, is that so bad?
Well,
you don't
I
have to comment.
No, I was about to say, I am the assistant men's coach by title. But Coach Marsh, I know it's his first year and he's excited to work with the group on the men's side. I know it's new coaches for them. So on the women's side, they were a little luckier just with me being there for more years. So I have the advantage of definitely doing it over and over again, but we got some good things coming on the men's side and the women's side.
Hey, I talked to Kenny Benderek on this podcast and he was like, just once, I want someone to ask me to do a 4x1. So I'm letting you know. That dude is sitting over there with his headband, excited to do a 4x1.
I know we do need to see Kenny run on a relay. We got to. I have no problems with seeing Kenny running on a relay.
Hey, put him on a 4x4 and say prove it, and then let him earn it, just like a high school kid.
Everybody start with the 4x4, okay? All levels. You heard it from me. 4x4.
All right, Track Girls, a nonprofit organization that provides girls with access to sisterhood, empowerment, and track and field. Everything in that sentence I just read is just gold. Tell me everything you can about Track Girls.
Man, I love track girls. I started track girls in 2015. I've been called a track girl since I was 14. It was a real community that already existed, a real sisterhood. I still have friends until this day. It provided access to my sister and I to get a higher education, travel the world. And I'm still impacted by the sport clearly today. And so I wanted to give girls the two things that I think is necessary to really pull them up, and that is one, access, and then two is education. And I know that as a world-class athlete, I had exposure to a network of powerful and influential women that I felt like they needed to be exposed. And so as a marketer, and by trade, I knew Track Girls was a true brand. And I wanted to create it and start it. So I left my job and really trademarked the name Track Girls, and I've been moving ever since. We started with workshops just to make sure that access and education was provided hands-on. So we do quarterly workshops and give girls access to high-level coaches, athletes, resources. I just finished writing my curriculum that we're going to expand for local community organizations and schools to be able to implement what we teach in our workshops. And that is about sisterhood, the social impact that has learned how women in a sport has contributed to history, sport, and culture through the years, and learning about that generational impact. And on an empowerment side, we teach our core values. I use my lesson and my process of what I went through, quitting my job one day and 2 years later walking into an Olympic stadium. So really how to have behavior change, make things happen, and really talking to middle and high school girls as they go through those critical adolescent years and the issues they face socially, mentally, and physically. And then last, I'll just say, just exposing them to track and field through our workshops. Of course, we're going to have some run, jump, and throw of some sort, foundational movement patterns, helping them with everyday functional movement and athleticism. But then on our grant side, just providing real money for girls to participate in track and field in their local community. So this past year, we gave over $40,000 for girls to compete at national championships at the club level. High schools to buy uniforms for their team. A girl who was unable to walk, we bought her a racing wheelchair, first time trying track and field. So we have some great things with track girls coming up. I'm so proud of track girls. I love it.
How can we find out more about Track Girls?
Yes, follow us on Instagram, please. And it's Track Girls with a Z. We had to add the finesse that we are known to bring. But yeah, Track Girls with a Z, trackgirls.com, but Instagram is where we are most active. But we're going to be launching our grant cycle this spring for girls to be able to apply for our grants. We're going to be launching our curriculum this spring. So it's a lot to come up for us, especially, with world championships coming up. I always like to do something tied to world championships, big global events. So we'll see.
It's amazing. It's amazing what you're doing. I'm really glad we're able to bookend this interview with Track Girls because that's important and you're doing good work. And so if you can hear from me and I can speak on the audience behalf, feel affirmed. What you're doing is awesome. And this is good, good stuff. So keep doing it. I know it's a hard fight. It always is, but it's worth it. Those girls are their lives are changed. Just like you and I have been talking about things we're going to remember our whole lives. That's what track and field does. That's what Track Girls is allowing these kids to have. It's really great.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you for having me, an opportunity just to share voice. And then last question I was going to ask you, when did you know that we were like really could pull this off?
It's like, oh my gosh, that's a great question. Okay. As a track coach, I'm not as an expert as you, but I'm sitting there and I watch relays all the time. 40 meters in when Melissa Jefferson took off, I thought, uh-oh. Oh my gosh, look what they're doing. And my brother, I grabbed him and he knows track and field, but not like me. And he was like, what, what? What? I go, we're gonna win. And then when Abby got out, and by the way, second leg sees what's happening. She saw Melissa, and I guarantee you, and I don't want to put words in her mouth or her brain, but I guarantee you Abby was thinking, oh, we're gonna win this. And you run different when you're ahead. In fact, watch the race again. No matter if you were one of the greatest sprinters ever, which some of those Jamaican teams had, when you're ahead, your form breaks down, you start panicking, you overstride, you get out too early. There's something to be said about putting your fast kids first and getting ahead fast because they could have caught up, but they didn't because they're behind, and there's something real special about getting used to winning. And Abby, when she got the baton, I know Jenna. I was like, this is done. I was thinking, I can't believe we're that far ahead. Because when when TT got it, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know we were that far ahead. But man, I 40 meters in the race, I couldn't believe what I was watching. And you know what? I wasn't alone. There was 50,000 people there or whatever, seeing the same thing we were. Okay. And you know who saw it more than us? All the Jamaicans.
you're not right.
I was sitting with Omar. I was sitting literally in the middle of Jamaica, and they were like, oh my God, but they're great. They're good track fans. No one was fighting or being mean about Jamaica. It.
Yeah. World-class. And we got to do it again and again and again. So, you know, short lived, but it was a good moment though. Again, thank you for the opportunity. It's not the opportunity to work with the women to inspire them is not something I take for granted. And so I know it's a task that I have and it's a heavy carry, but I do whatever I can every single day so I'm prepared as best as I can in that time.
Well, as an American citizen, thank you for doing what you do, because we are proud of our girls. We're proud of our sport. And it trickles down. There's a lot of girls that want to run track and field because of what happened at that relay. And so just want to make sure I say a couple things. This podcast brought to you by ontrackandfield.com and relaybatons.com. As a gift, I'm just going to send Coach a gift for coming on the podcast. Steve Ringgold, our CEO, likes to just send something out and say, thanks. We appreciate you for coming on the podcast. And so relaybatons.com, custom engraved, cool mug. You can be cool with all your friends out there. And we're excited, Coach, that you are doing what you're doing. How can we find out more about what you're doing? Not just through Track Girls, but everything. Where can we follow you on social media?
Yeah, it's Michelle, and that's Michelle E, M-E-C-H-E-L-L-E. My maiden name, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, and then Freeman. So Michelle Lewis Freeman on Instagram. Follow me there on Twitter. I'm Coach Freezy, and I love Twitter just to follow conversations. But yeah, that's my most active places to be. But I'll be putting out more and more, especially as I get into some of my speed and conditioning programming and things like that, and speaking and doing clinics and teaching more and coaching more. So yeah, I have a lot to look forward to just to get more out in the community and continue to help people at all levels.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to go to one of those clinics. Coach, we can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. Throwing it out there, you need an assistant to the assistant. Let me know. I'm on a flight anywhere, anytime, hanging out with you, learning from you. You have a lot to give. And you know what? I have a feeling that relay was something special, but I don't think it's going to be the peak of your coaching career. I think there's something more special out there. So thanks again.
We're working on it. Okay.
A living legend. Coach, thank you so much. And you know who also is a living legend? Steve Ringgold, our CEO. Pay attention just for a second. He'll let you know more about how to get in contact with On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com. And without further ado, Steve, take it away.
Thanks, JT. And thanks to our guest, founder of Track Girls and USA Olympic Women's Relay Coach, Michelle Freeman, for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com, custom engraved and meet and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers, great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts, and by OnTrackAndField.com, cross country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season, competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need, and you can save up to 50% when you use the word Track Talk at checkout. Some exclusions apply. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at On Track and Field on Twitter and the Gram,